right, folks.
We'll announce it in a moment.
Can you take your conversations into the hall, please, so that we can go back to work? Thank you.
You're hired. Carla, could you please read for us items number 1154 and 1155?
Accept the report on the City of Portland 2020 federal legislative and regulatory agenda, and 1155, accept the report on the City of Portland 2020 state legislative agenda.
Good afternoon, colleagues. We're bringing forward two items, the 2020 state legislative agenda and the 2020 federal legislative regulatory agenda. Before I turn this over to the Office of Government Relations to discuss the changes in the agendas, I'd like to make a few brief remarks. On November 12th, the council held an informal work session where Elizabeth Edwards and her very able team provided us with an overview of the agendas and their process. Council provided input at that time, and there have been ongoing conversations to further refine the agendas. I'll now turn things over to Director Elizabeth Edwards and her team. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My team and I are pleased to be before you here today for the purpose that you just stated. We will be presenting the 2020 federal legislative and regulatory agenda and the 2020 state legislative agenda reports for your consideration and acceptance. And I will cover some of the items that have changed since we met here last month in work session. I will also be fairly quick, so please feel free to interrupt, but I'm going to try and gain some time back.
Thank you.
The long road to building this, the city, state, and federal agenda began back in August and September, respectively, for the state and federal agendas when we put out our call for issues to the bureaus. We then used that information through vetting in order to come before you on the 12th in work session. We were in work session for 2 hours, and since that time, we have previewed the draft with our congressional delegation. We've gathered additional feedback over the November legislative days down in Salem, and through meetings with key partners and stakeholders. And we've also been working really closely with your offices and bureaus in order to track down various inquiries and to make sure we're incorporating the corrections to the agendas that you saw in draft at work session. So first I want to turn to the federal legislative and regulatory agenda and acknowledge the good work of Niels Tillstrom, our federal legislative manager, as well as Vicki Cram, our DC representative. The report that you have before you is really very similar to what you saw in November. There are now 9 priorities. We started out with 8 during the conversation in work session. The National Flood Insurance Program compliance with the Endangered Species Act was elevated from a policy position to a priority. We've also made changes to, in both the state and federal drafts, where it says climate change, it now refers to the climate crisis, which I think is in keeping with the conversation we're just having. A couple other small changes. There was a Scrivener's error changing 2019 to 2020 in order to reflect the most recent work. Under investment in mental health and addiction services, that's on page 3, we added language to strengthen that priority in light of council's discussion in November, and specifically call out access to Medicaid and Medicare benefits for treatment. We added more clear language under the growing, welcoming, and inclusive sanctuary city priority, and stated explicitly per Commissioner Hardesty's comments that Portland is a sanctuary city, and we value counting all people in the 2020 decennial census. And then under the policy positions, we made 2 changes. One was to the section on opportunity zones, and calling out specifically support for the Opportunity Zone Reporting and Reform Act, which will bring additional oversight and transparency to that program, which is something that the council discussed. And last but not least, we amended the supporting public safety policy priority in order to specifically call out first responders and their role in that policy position. So now the title is supporting first responders and providing public safety. That covers the changes between the work session draft and the draft that you have before you. I'm happy to pause for any questions on the federal side before turning to state. Okay. Turning now to the state legislative agenda, I want to thank the work of Stacey Cowan, our state government relations manager, as well as Eric Knoll, the state lobbyist, and Haley Tortorella, our associate, for their good work in putting all this together. There are 4 legislative priorities for the 2020 short session. And again, the draft is really similar to the draft that you saw back in November. The most changes were to the healthy environment section. That's on page 2. Similar to the federal agenda, climate change is now climate crisis in the document. We more specifically call out the impact of the climate crisis on Black, Indigenous communities, communities of color, and low-income communities. And we added a specific call out to the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund. We also added language about protecting voter-approved local measures under the local decision-making section, as well as calling out specifically protecting PSEF under that local decision-making section. Last but not least, under the healthy environment section, we changed references in that subsection on mitigating risk of fossil fuels from crude oil to fossil fuels because it's a broader and more inclusive term. The public health and housing priority now has an additional sentence that adds emphasis that the city is going to strongly advocate for greater investment in and reforms to improve the behavioral health system statewide. That came out of the robust discussion that we had back in November. The public safety section, public safety and accountability section remains the same. So those are the changes from the November version and the version that you have before you on the state agenda. Pause here for any questions.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to say, Elizabeth, thank you so much. You and your team, I thought, did an excellent job in hearing the concerns that were raised when we met. Was that November?
Yes.
In November. And it's clearly reflected in the documents. I appreciated the briefing that I had earlier today. And just want you to know that I'm always grateful when we have those conversations and something actually happens because we talked. Right? So thank you very much. Great work, and look forward to getting on with the session.
All right. Thank
you.
We try. So in closing, next month, we'll be back in Salem for January organizational days starting on the 13th. We can expect bills on the 27th of January. Ballpark, roughly 275 measures we expect to be introduced for the short session.
Wow.
And that's, again, a 35-day session, which will start on February 3rd. We will have our legislative breakfast on January 7th. That's an opportunity for you all to talk with the Portland legislative delegation. And again, I want to thank my team for their hard work and thank the council for their robust input in this process, and really just a pleasure to represent the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. I'll entertain a motion on item number 1154 unless there's any further questions.
Second.
Commissioner Udaly moves on 1154. Commissioner Hardesty seconds. Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Thank you, Director Edwards. I'm pleased with these recommendations, especially as you know, protecting our local power. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for all your work on this. Obviously, the short session is more of a carry on what we've been doing, and I know we're all committed to doing a more extensive public process next year, earlier next year, to make sure we start planning for the long session in good time. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Hardesty.
Thank you all. Appreciate the hard work and look forward to the sessions. Well, one of them anyway. The state one is probably the one I look forward to. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Good work. Aye. The report's accepted. 1155. Any further presentation? Any further discussion? Call the roll. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Move the report.
It's a report. I'll take a motion.
Second.
Oh, I moved it. You seconded it. Now we can call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The report's accepted. Thank you, and thank you for truncating the presentation a little bit today. We appreciate that. Believe it or not, we're 5 minutes early. We'll take a 5-minute break.
What about the pizza?
Well, let me ask. We could go to PSEF next. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
It's late enough. I think it's okay. All right, why don't we go to 1157?
Amend City Code related to the administration of the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Initiative.
Colleagues, I want to affirm that I full-heartedly support the Clean Energy Fund, its goals, and the coalition that made it a reality. It's a beacon and a testament to our community's belief in doing things in a different way, and it's a model for the rest of the nation. However, no policy is perfect, and the City Council views these amendments as critical time-sensitive changes necessary to minimize the impacts of the clean energy surcharge on construction costs, retirement planning, and garbage collection. This will allow us to manage the escalation costs of building schools and low-income housing, residential garbage collection, and retirement planning, all things we value in our community, in addition to reducing the impact on our environment. I acknowledge these changes are less than ideal. However, the Portland Clean Energy Fund will remain a model for the rest of the country, and I look forward to all of the good work to come. My commitment to the program will remain as strong as I am directing a cross-bureau team to evaluate and mitigate barriers or conflicts that may exist in the city's code and permit requirements that might hamper the projects that we expect from the fund. Moving forward, I also want to be clear that as far as I'm concerned, and I believe my colleagues agree, the City Council has finished creating exemptions in the PSEF rules. From here forward, any recommendations on changes to the PSEF program will come from the PSEF Advisory Committee to the Council. And they will be busy at work developing one of the most innovative programs this nation has seen. So we must also respect and acknowledging the challenging work that's ahead for them. The changes. Remove construction activity from the definition of large retailer. The exclusion of construction from the definition of large retailer will reduce construction costs for schools as well as other large-scale green energy projects. This also helps keep the cost of construction for low-income housing down. Provide for a deduction for fees associated with retirement planning. This should keep retirement costs down as financial institutions will be able to reduce their retail sales from fees generated from retirement savings activity. Provide for a deduction for residential garbage and recycling services. This keeps the costs of garbage recycling for residents of Portland low. I also want to especially thank Commissioner Hardesty for the partnership that we have developed on this, the conversations we've had both with the PSEF Coalition and others in the business community. It has been a very fruitful and productive and important partnership, and I personally want to thank you for that, for your guidance and your leadership. Thomas Lanham, the Director of the Office of Management and Finances Revenue Division, is here to address any questions we may have, unless Commissioner Hardesty, if you had any opening remarks. All right. Take it away, Thomas.
Hi, I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the Director of the City's Revenue Division. Now it is. The Director of the City's Revenue Division and the Mayor covered very well, I think, the changes, so I won't reiterate those points. We are amending two pieces of code this afternoon. One is 702, the changes of PCC 7.02, the business license law, which is the pieces that the Mayor just summarized, as well as a companion piece, the City Code Section 7.07. So the changes there are two. One is purely housekeeping, change to incorporate a section of the original measure that was overlooked when the council enacted the measure in February. So just word for word, it's housekeeping. And then the second piece is an amendment to extend the grace period governing the administrative cost limitation from December 2020 to June of 2022. And this change was requested by BPS in recognition of the significant ramp-up time for a fund of this type. So I will keep it brief and wrap up right there, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Everybody's with the program. Public testimony on this item, Carla?
We have four people signed
up. Very good.
Edith Gillis, Joe Walsh, and Charles Bridgetrain Johnson.
Would you like to start, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
It's not very often I get to say good evening, commissioners. Sorry to have missed you all yesterday, but I guess you were just lucky. So there's 52 pages of this that we can digest over 3 minutes. Hopefully enough diligent citizens have already looked at it, and sometimes we realize compromise is necessary, even if only to avoid litigation. Sometimes you're wonderfully transparent, and you can explicitly tell us or hint at which potential litigators have tried to influence this move. Other times we can rely on other organizations like 350 PDX or Extinction Rebellion to tell us. The one thing I think that's really important to call out here in a city that, in a state that is constantly saying, we have a revenue problem, we have a revenue problem, is it's a little bit disingenuous to say that exempting construction projects helps affordable and low-income housing. Technically, that may be correct, but the proper remedy would have been to specifically exempt low-income housing construction and continue to tax ordinary construction. You could have exempted schools, you could have exempted the low-income housing that we desperately need to build, and still sought revenue from the people who, oh, is that the Marriott Corporation that just displaced all our food carts and is bringing us a one of those elite brands hotels that's not Four Seasons? I guess I won't give them free advertising since I can't remember the name. Oh, a Ritz-Carlton, I'll give them the free advertising. So it would have been great if that fell under the tax. But the 4/5 that are needed are all here, and I think you're ready to vote unanimously. So I look forward to getting this program going and creating good clean energy jobs for a selection of people that really mirrors the makeup of our community. Thank you all.
Good evening. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We oppose this. We read the supporting documentations, and maybe we're missing something here, and I get egg on my face, which is cool. I get egg on my face from time to time. I like it because it's always not as bad as I thought. You're taking $10 million out of something that was voted in by the people of this city. I think that's correct. So 65% of the people in Portland said they want this. They want these taxes on the rich. They want you to tax the corporations. They want you to tax the what? What's the exemption on this? Oh, yes. Construction. It's everywhere in Portland, and you're going to exempt it. $10 million. You're going to go from 40, maybe 70. It's an estimate. And you know as well as I do, these estimates suck. They never work out. They're always either under or over, and it's always damaging. So we don't speak to you. We speak for the record. How can you stand there and pat yourselves on the back hour after hour after hour and just do something like this? Take $10 million away from people that have billions. And that's the minimum, $1 billion. And you call yourselves representatives. We call you shits.
Good evening. I am Edith Gillis, and I'm grateful that we're concerning about this and that we're committed to do something. And as you probably have heard me the last 35 years at City Council, it's not enough. We need to do better, faster, sooner. What I'm concerned about is that in this delay, we give a vested interest to commercial industrial owners to, like Schnitzer, to log right away.
That's not what we're talking about.
We're on the PSEF item.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to tell you is that my father worked for Pacific Power and Light for 45 years. He was the area and district distribution engineer for Portland, Bend, Klamath Falls, and those areas. And they knew for over half a century that coal, methane, nuclear, and Bonneville Dam, big hydroelectric, was producing more methane, was not effective. And they've known all along that we need to have a diversified, democratized, decentralized, locally controlled and have biodiversity, which we can do as part of our Portland policy here, that we can make...
This is about the Portland Clean Energy.
Right. So we can make sure that we are making the policy that have that localized here. And one of the things you said earlier was, where is the money coming from, or how are we going to do this? As we're expanding on this, we can move towards a municipal public bank, so the monies that are coming in for this can also be funding our bigger things that are not held in hostage to the gambling industry and to bankruptcy or corruption. So when we are having this process, let's work ahead of time also to manage the funding and to have a lot more of the diversified, democratized, decentralized, and diversified owned power, not just rooftop solar.
Thanks, appreciate it. Thanks, both of you.
The last person is Oriana Magnera.
Hello again.
Hi.
For the record, my name is Oriana Magnera. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the Climate and Energy Policy Coordinator for Verde, here representing the steering committee of the PSEF Coalition this evening. The exemptions being considered today include the construction center, garbage hauling, and retirement plans. These industries would be pulled out and added to a list of specific types of retail sales of goods and services that are exempt from the Portland Clean Energy Fund's 1% surcharge on billion-dollar retailers. The Portland Clean Energy Fund Coalition Steering Committee can see the unique policy arguments for exempting construction and garbage hauling, arguments that are in line with the values and intentionality of what voters approved. The construction sector's jobs overlap with the workforce development goals of the Portland Clean Energy Fund, and garbage hauling arguably fits under the longstanding exemption for utilities, and also represents a necessary fix to address the nuances of how waste contracts are negotiated by the city. Because the funds within retirement plans themselves are not subject to the PSEF surcharge, we see less reason for why the exemption should be considered, as we've not heard a compelling and unique policy reason for why the companies providing these services cannot simply pay their fair share. Because the revenue would be collected based solely on the fees charged for the plans, they are no different than the revenue collected for services provided by other billion-dollar corporations. And I'll note that we don't intend to oppose these exemptions this evening, but simply wish to raise the concerns and the inconsistency between the construction and garbage hauling exemption and the retirement plans as, from a public policy perspective. All of these exemptions represent dollars that will not become available to support resiliency and investment in communities in the face of the climate crisis. This is a loss. It is worth naming that these exemptions take money out of the hands of Black, Indigenous, and other communities of color and put it instead in the pockets of corporations. Corporations who are to blame for the climate crisis have long gotten away with deferring the cost of the problems they have caused, and we need investments in communities, especially low-income communities, and Black, Indigenous, and other communities of color to weather the storm. The reduction of funds not only affects community investments, but also the health of the program. Sufficient funds are needed to ensure that it is run well and efficiently. As I said, today the PSEF Coalition will not oppose the exemptions on the table, but we will fight fiercely if any further erosion of the program occurs at any time, but especially in 2020, the first and most crucial year of the program. We expect City Council to be staunch advocates as well, defending against any and all future exemptions that big businesses may continue to request, and we expect the city to be vigilant with attempts to undermine PSEF that may come at the state level. There's much to celebrate about looking back on this year of collaboration together to implement the voters' will and build the PSEF program, especially with strong program staff and an exemplary grant committee. We can be proud of this collaboration, which in many ways serves as the kind of standard bearer of city and community collaboration in the city. Let us move forward together to help PSEF succeed through its projects and the peoples these dollars will serve. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Was there anyone else, Carla?
That's all who signed up for that item.
Okay, very good. Is there any further discussion on this item? It's an emergency ordinance. Please call the roll.
You Daly.
Well, I was a proud supporter of PSEF. I don't believe that everyone who supported it understood what large retail would mean. And so this was a really important conversation about mitigating impacts ultimately to consumers for really essential things. I would be much happier if, as Mr. Johnson suggested, we were doing a more narrow exemption for municipal and affordable housing developments, but we're not. I believe that these recommendations came out of the PSEF committee. My office was not lobbied by community advocates or the PSEF coalition, which is why I'm vaguely comfortable with supporting it, also following the lead of Commissioner Hardesty and the mayor. I lost my train of thought, so I'm going to vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to Commissioner Hardesty and Mayor Wheeler for collaborating on coming to agreement on these amendments to clarify. I understand that the construction would also apply to public construction projects, which, because of the way those contracts are structured, would mean that Water Bureau, Environmental Services, Portland Public Schools would all be passing along those costs back to the people who need those services rather than the construction company. So that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm glad to see Andrea Durbin, the director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, still here. We built into the rates for solid waste hauling last year that the solid waste would be paying this fee. So I hope that there'll be an adjustment coming on that. And I appreciate seeing the folks from the garbage haulers here as well, and appreciate all of your input onto this. This is a good compromise. Thank you all to the Portland Business Alliance and to my chief of staff, Tim Crail, for working on this. Aye.
Hardesty?
I am so thrilled that we finally have the Portland Clean Energy Fund. And I am thrilled because before the Portland Clean Energy Fund, we had $0 dedicated to creating opportunities for folks who have been left out of the economic engine of the city of Portland. So going from zero to somewhere between $47 million and $70 million a year is a very, very good day. It is clear when I first started with this initiative and created the coalition and started going out and talking to people about this vision, we did not know what the city of Portland's definition of retail was. Right? Silly me, I thought it was like retail buildings, right? Like Target and, you know, all the other ones, right, that are around. It wasn't until after it passed that we found out that the definition was much broader than we had anticipated. I would not have support a tax on anyone's retirement account, period. I don't think adding a tax to affordable housing or school construction or a garbage hauling for residential homes was something that we had ever envisioned would take place. I want to be very clear. I am the biggest champion, and I got champions here next to me, but I am the mother of PSEF. And I stake my reputation on making sure that it is implemented exactly as we envision. We worked our hearts out to make this real, and I am so proud that starting next year, we're going to start creating some awesome opportunities for those in our community who would have never imagined it before PSEF. I wish Joe Walsh was still here, but maybe he'll listen to us on TV. Because what I would want him to know is that he knows me, and he knows that I would never do anything to undermine PSEF. And anyone who doesn't know me, Google me, because you will see my name all over PSEF. This is a good move. It creates certainty for certain businesses in our community, and it gives us the opportunity to move forward without fear of lawsuits and other efforts that others may have used to try to stop this process before it started. I am proud that Mayor Wheeler was willing to work with me, and we compromised, because, you know, guess what? When you work with somebody, you compromise. But I think we came to a good compromise, and we came to a compromise we can be proud of. I can't wait to see what 2020 and 2021 and all the years after bring. We did good work. So let's not be sad that $10 million will no longer be there, because prior to PSEF, it was $0. This is a good day, and I am proud to vote aye.
Wheeler.
This is a compromise, and the reason I know it was a successful compromise, Commissioner Hardesty, is both the coalition and the business community are unhappy. So mission accomplished. Unfortunately, in the divided times in which we live, compromise is sometimes seen as a weakness. I still believe it is the hallmark of excellent statecraft. And there's no secret that I had concerns about the revenue mechanism for this. And I believe through the hard work that we have done, Commissioner, with the coalition, we have resolved what I think were the most glaring potential issues. And I agree with you that they were the most likely to be challenged potentially successfully in court. And I gave my word to the folks around that table on all sides of this that if we can resolve these issues going forward, I will champion the hell out of this thing. And I meant it. And the reason I meant it is because this is a significant new direction in terms of including frontline communities. And this council on the whole, we committed to a just transition to 100% renewable energy. And while the debate rages about when we are going to get there and how we are going to get there, we made it very clear that frontline communities were going to be at the head of the table. And in the absence of a tool, a mechanism like PSEF, it would be very hard for us to live up to that community, to that commitment. So I think this is great. I know a lot of people are wishing it could have ended maybe in a different way, but this allows us to clear the decks, hold hands, move forward together, and make this an innovative and successful program worthy of the City of Portland. I vote aye. The ordinance is passed, and we move on. All right. Now the main show. Item number 1156.
Amend trees in development situations code to extend sunset date for certain tree preservation regulations in development situations on private property.
All right. So today we have a specific and narrow decision on whether or not to extend the sunset for the 2016 amendments to Title 11, the tree code, and if so, for how long. During last week's council hearing, we signaled support to amend the extension of the sunset to 5 years, voted to amend the ordinance as an emergency, meaning it would take effect immediately, and reopen public testimony. Before we begin testimony, I want to provide an update on the draft resolution that will in part direct bureaus to strengthen Title 11 in ways that are legally defensible. My office is continuing to work with council offices, city bureaus, and stakeholders to develop resolution language. There are hard copies of the draft, and I want to underscore draft version with staff contact information, and those copies are where? They're over there by Carla. I also understand that we have hard copies reflecting track changes from both Commissioners Fritz and Udaley. Please reach out to Sam Diaz. Sam, can you raise your hand? There you are. Reach out to Sam Diaz with questions and feedback on the resolution. We would love to have your feedback. I've directed the Bureau of Development Services to post the draft resolution on its website so people can easily read the language and provide us with comments. My staff will also be reading those comments that come in without exception. I've also directed the Bureau of Development Services to begin confirming dates for the Urban Forestry Commission and the Planning and Sustainability Commission hearings before Council takes up the resolution as respect in agreement with the emergency status. As we receive these comments, my office will be sure to share these with my colleagues' offices to help us finalize the resolution language. We're moving swiftly so that Council may take up the resolution on January 8th at 10:15 a.m. Thanks to those of you who've already provided my office with comments on the resolution. We appreciate it. Again, if you're here today to provide feedback on the resolution, please connect with Sam, email my office with comments, or visit the Bureau of Development Services website to read and comment there. Thank you. I want to share a friendly reminder that today's testimony is focused on the extension of the 2016 amendments to Title 11.
Wheeler?
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for staying late. I just wanted to mention that there's copies of the proposed amendments. Dorothy's holding them up right now. And just to be clear, I've reviewed Commissioner Udaly's. She put them forward first. She has not had an opportunity to review mine yet. But obviously, the council wants to work together with the community to get to something. Mayor, just to clarify, are you intending to have the Bureau of Development Services to notice the Planning Commission and Urban Forestry Commission hearings so that we don't have to wait until the resolution passes to do that?
That seems like a good idea. Is there any specific plan in place?
I would just encourage you to consider
there isn't
that.
A specific plan in place
is
right
there
now.
Is there any reason why we wouldn't do that?
I don't think so once we figure out the dates.
Yeah, you can always cancel them. I know that Commissioner Udaly and I are really interested in having these the amendments for commercial and industrial come back to council as quickly as possible, while also respecting what Mayor Wheeler said last time, is making sure that they're legally defensible. So that's the question that we'll be working on. But in the meantime, we can notice the public hearings that are required by the code. Second of all, I wanted to mention that after the last hearing, I had an opportunity to visit with Commissioner Fish because Mayor Wheeler had rightly been concerned that the person in charge of Portland Parks and Recreation and Urban Forestry should be a core part of this decision. So I relayed what the discussion had been in terms of the five-year extension to the sunset and then this quick process with a resolution to come back with changes on commercial and industrial. And Commissioner Fish is very supportive of that. He's also supportive of an additional process to look at the rest of Title 11 to see what other changes need to be made, and with the acknowledgement that there will be a budget request coming with that because that will need additional resources. But I did just want to convey that I know Commissioner Fish wishes he could be there, and I know we all sent him our good wishes, and that this is in accordance with what he is comfortable with.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
I just want to briefly state, I mentioned this when it came back last week, I think. I had originally proposed a much longer sunset, and then after talking to staff and advocates, realized that that would not necessarily achieve my goal and that the shorter sunset might compel the Bureau to act a little faster. So this isn't a concession at all. I think we will continue to extend the sunset, or perhaps once we get back in there and make all the fixes we want, make it permanent. But right now, we are just talking about extending that sunset for 5 years.
So that's the question on the table today. And any comments on the resolution proposal should come to our offices, and we will make sure to read our emails and work on it with you.
I'll just add that reiterating that the testimony and hopefully vote tonight is narrow to the sunset date extension of the amendments that were passed in 2016. I just want to let people know that the draft resolution will be up on the Bureau of Development Services website sometime between 8 and 9 tomorrow morning, and we'll have a comment. It'll be a portal to submit your comments or your edits that'll be open through the following Friday, which is December 20th. And then we'll take a look at those and work with the mayor's office and the other commissioner's office to finalize some language.
And people don't have to use that tool, obviously. If they
no,
want
they
to
can
send
also
us emails,
call Sam and they
write,
can call,
send us flowers, whatever.
Yep.
Okay, good.
May I say something?
Yeah, of course.
Carla, how many people signed up to testify?
Six.
Six. I just wanted to mention that Mike Sturr, the director of the Water Bureau, is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award at 6 o'clock, and I would really like to be there.
Oh, wow.
From the Daily Journal of Commerce. And I think this is going in the direction that the majority of testimony has been asking us to. So, and it's an emergency ordinance, so I have to stay to vote on it.
All right. Let's jump in.
The first three, please, coming up are Bob Bernstein, Greg Snyder, and Don Smallman.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for waiting and working so late.
Well, thank you for your patience.
I'm Robert Bernstein, Southeast Portland resident for 50 years now. I don't see any time in my lifetime when we don't when we won't need trees and the benefits that they bestow to us. I heard an interesting quote by Harper Lee the other night from it's not from To Kill a Mockingbird, but of course she was the author. And the quote is, "Have you ever found the whole world in the branches of a chinaberry tree?" I have. Trees bring us a lot. Growing up in a working class neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, I think of all that what trees meant to me. We would play marbles in their shade, use them in hide and seek, tag, snowball fights, throw the itchy ball fruits from sycamores and gums at each other. Sometimes we stuff them down each other's shirts and rub them. Experience the wildlife they harbored, birds and their songs, the squirrels they brought to my apartment fire escape, down to the worms that would wriggle out of the tree wells after a warm rain. I marveled at the size and softness of catalpa leaves and watched the helicopter-like maple seeds float down to the ground, where we would pick them up, make them twirl in the air, or peel them back and stick them on our noses like tiny rhinoceros horns. They were a gift. At a time when nature and our earth needs more saviors and more youth connected to the earth, one of the best things we can do is protect our trees. I was fortunate. They should be a birthright of all youth, independent of wealth or lack of.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you want me to go? Good evening.
Evening.
Good evening.
I'm Greg Snyder. Thank you for staying late tonight.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it.
I'm testifying today to urge you to vote yes to amend Trees and Development Situations Code to extend the sunset date for certain tree preservation regulations in development situations on private property. I'm also urging you to vote to extend these regulations to commercial and industrial sites when you get everybody together to do that. However, at the hearing on November 18th, 2019, I was very surprised and disappointed to learn that since the emergency temporary regulations went into place in 2016, absolutely nothing has been done to update and create a promised comprehensive tree code. My fear is that the extension and passing of the current tree code will be assumed that our urban canopy crisis is fixed, and no further steps will be taken to create a comprehensive, real working tree code. I've studied the most recent urban forestry tree planting compliance report and found that the current system is weakly enforced and, as of 2016, failing on most levels. There are no statistics available past 2016, making it impossible to determine the actual effectiveness of the current tree code. We are in a climate emergency. To quote Commissioner Fritz from last week's meeting, the world is on fire. 2019 will once again break the record for carbon emissions around the globe. Our city government gives lip service to this fact but continues business as usual. This is my fourth time appearing before City Council to argue for the right of developers to continue to cut mature trees for a price. This is not tree protection, this is a revenue stream. The current code does little to nothing to prevent mature trees from being destroyed. It is a pay-to-cut system that values developers and money over the urban canopy. Last week, I read in the Southeast Examiner that city planners are considering increasing the number of allowable units on a single lot to 6. If the choice is to pay $20,000 to cut down a mature tree versus the hundreds of thousands of dollars to be made by adding more units to a lot, developers will default to profit. The idea that mitigation by replacing mature tree with a whippet as an effective compensation for environmental loss is an act of science denial. Tree code is currently overseen by the Bureau of Development Services. They make money by charging people to cut mature trees. Like cap and trade, this is a system rigged to allow developers to cut down trees while the city profits. At best, this is a conflict of interest. Now we are talking about giving BDS another 5 years to revise a tree code they have completely ignored for the past 3 years. Why would we do that? Tree code should be removed from the Bureau of Development Services and handed over to a more environmentally concerned bureau, like the Bureau of Environmental Services and Urban Forestry should be given the resources to implement and enforce tree code. And I'll stop there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mayor.
Daily.
Greg, just to be clear, BDS just enforces code. They don't develop it. So that you're right, it wouldn't be the right place. But that is the bureau that's charged with enforcing our codes. That is unlikely to change.
Who is the bureau that would develop tree code then?
BPS.
And the urban forestry.
When urban, yeah.
Planning and sustainability and urban forestry.
It is not BD, it is not BDS.
No.
And where does the money go when a tree is cut? Who gets that money?
It mostly goes towards replanting trees or planting new trees, which I agree is not an adequate substitute for mature trees.
I guess I'm confused because every time I come to this meeting, BDS represents tree code when they come up here.
They're in charge of staffing the Planning and Development Commission, Planning Sustainability Commission, so that's why they are presenting the Planning and Sustainability Commissions. It is complicated. There are three different bureaus that are involved.
Plus, it's just one letter different, so it gets very confusing.
Thank you.
Whoever's supposed to be doing it, they didn't do it for the past 3 years in this emergency situation
And to be clear, that's on the council. That I asked 5 years in a row to have funding to do that update, and the various councils, most of the people on this council were not here at that time, were not able to do that. So
perhaps if we move it to BES where they have more funding capabilities.
No, they can't use that funding. So this time I believe we do have a majority of the council who are going to be willing to fund this in the upcoming
that
budget.
That would be awesome.
Thank you.
Your point's still spot on, Greg, and we appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
And Commissioner Fritz is right. Really, the bucks always stop with us.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Dawn Smallman. Thank you for staying late. Because I am one of those people who watches the video feed from these council sessions all the time, and the mics here are not very good. I'd like everyone watching tonight to know that we can hear holy hell breaking loose with climate activists in front of City Hall right now stopping traffic. And I think it's a perfect time to talk about our lacking tree code in this city. It's really been horrible. I've been on this issue for close to 12 years. And I have to speak first about the frustration of my process testifying here today. I came here at 1 o'clock to get a seat. There was no sign-up sheet. I went to the clerk. They told me there was no testimony. Mayor Wheeler, you had promised that there would be testimony at the last time. Mm-hmm. Then I came here today, took off work, sat here for a number of hours, told there was no testimony, had people texting me, telling me that your office, Mayor Wheeler, was telling people it was not time certain that the tree code was going to be discussed that was happening between 2 and 5. I had went up to your office, left City Council chambers, and corrected folks at your office, and even two agenda items before, I'm standing at the desk here talking to people from City Hall, and even among themselves, they weren't clear whether there was going to be testimony happening in the next 20 minutes for this. So I hope this doesn't count to my testimony. I want you to know that there's something very broken in the process that's going on.
I'm sorry to hear that. That is my office, and I will take full responsibility for that.
The meeting before.
I'm sorry for that.
I appreciate that. The meeting before, this one about the tree code, I actually was at that meeting, and what was said for the next date to be set for the next date for the next meeting about this conflicted with what it said on the city's agenda online. So I called your office, and I called Commissioner Fish's office and said, you're in charge of parks. When I was in City Council, Mayor Wheeler said this was the date, but when I go to that agenda date, it's not on there. Can you please give me clarification? Fish's office kicked me over to your office. Your office I corresponded with, they didn't get back to me at all.
Things got confusing on the dais, though, to be fair.
If it's confusing for you all up to 10 minutes before we're taking testimony of whether testimony is happening and what day it's happening and what time it's happening, and then it's you can't communicate it to us.
Admonition fully accepted. Look, our job is to make it easy for people to come here and express their opinions. So I personally apologize to you for that. It should not happen.
I appreciate the apology, but I'm just more into being able to be here and be an ally to you, and I can't do that if I can't get the information.
I totally agree.
Thank you. So I'm here to urge you to renew the Big Tree Amendment for as long as is on the table today, and when the opportunity comes up in the future, to renew it for in perpetuity to make it permanent part of the code. I know you want a very narrow set of comments here today, but I also want to address something that I heard during the 100% renewables discussion that Commissioner Hardesty said, we need the community to help us figure out how to solve this. And I really appreciate that comment. And I would like to make a comment that I've been on the tree issue for 12 years. I've sat as a citizen on a number of park boards that have been involved with urban forestry issues. And I've also sat on park boards that are concerned in parks funding. Parks funding, as you well know, is a frustrating situation with no good end in sight for funding yet. The only reason why urban forestry and urban tree codes sits in the park's hands is because at one time in the history of the city, they grew, parks grew all the street trees. That program ended decades ago. And so you have this leftover thing where it's being managed by parks, and it's not really parks' job to be doing all this stuff. And parks, it further stresses parks' funding because it's sitting in parks' hands. Why don't we do what we have the Bureau of Environmental Services here for? Parks do three of the four stated things on your website. There's four missions of the Bureau of Environmental Services. Trees provide for three of those. It cleans the water, it protects public health, and it deals with stormwater runoff. That's what the Bureau of Environmental Services, that's three of four of their mandates. That's what urban trees do. It should be in BAS's portfolio. It would have more secure funding than being in parks, which is always hampered for funding and has never been able to give it the priority that it needs. The answers to climate problems are not just who's going to invent stuff, technology will save us, how can we write creative accounting schemes that are going to move money around and make it be able to look like on paper it works. Nature-based solutions have to be part of the discussion. It's a huge part of the conversation that's being left out here. The fact that Tree Code has been kicked to the side by BDS for a number of years, they had 3 years and they didn't do one single thing to attend on it, shows you how much it's been just neglected. It's time for us to really put the management of urban trees into the Bureau of Environmental Services, who are environmentally minded and knowledgeable people who understand the value of our urban canopy and how nature-based solutions are an important part of solving the climate crisis that we face. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you. I appreciate it. Again, I'm sorry for that miscommunication. I appreciate you bringing it to my attention.
The next three are Jan Zuckerman, Lynn Handlin, and Albert Kaufman. And the last person will be Bob Solinger.
Hi, my name is Jan Zuckerman. I'm one of the mentors with the Portland Youth Climate Council, and I want to thank you for taking this issue. And it is an emergency, and I'm glad that you're doing this today. I just wanted to reiterate a little bit about what Don said. There was some confusion. Last week we had quite a few students ready to testify. We're told that they couldn't. And then they were thinking maybe they could testify, or they thought they could testify last week, and then they were told they couldn't testify this week, so then many students didn't come, and I think they would have had they known. So what I would like to ask you, if possible, on January 8th at 10:15 is when you're looking at the resolution, because the youth have been working on this issue for a long time and have really pushed it forward, if it could be addressed in the afternoon when they are not in school, then they could actually participate in this, what they've been working on for months and months and months and months. Their voice could be heard. It's really difficult, equity-wise, too, to get youth here when they're missing school. It's really stressful. So if there's any way you could do that in the afternoon instead of the morning, the youth would appreciate it.
Carla, do we have any time sentence in the afternoon on that day?
What was the date? You're
on the it's the 8th, right?
Yeah,
the Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. They have a morning. 2:33.
Like after school hours.
Yeah, we have 3:45 or 3:00 on the 9th.
Why don't we do
3:45?
3:45 would be better just for youth to get out of school.
And actually, that would be better for us too, because I'm sure we'll have lots of people wanting to testify when you actually get to testify on the bigger picture policy.
Yeah, I mean, so. I know it's hard because it goes late and it's tiring, but.
No.
We get paid for it.
Okay.
I appreciate your
being
here.
Yeah, thank you for the suggestion then. Yeah. Okay. So thank you.
Okay. So, Carla, could you restate the time certain again, please?
Yes. That will be on a Wednesday, January 8th at 3:45 p.m. time certain.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for changing that.
Maybe we could even arrange to have a panel of the students as invited testimony.
I think they would appreciate that. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Lynn Handlin, small business owner in the city of Portland for the last several decades. I appreciate you guys staying late. I know I was here at the last one, so I'm glad you guys, you know, made arrangements. I'm here to ask, of course, for the city to extend the big tree mitigation proposal for whatever amount of time that y'all are willing to do. Of course, I'm extremely disappointed that the exemptions are that issue has gone on hold for, you know, until midsummer. I understand, whatever, not your fault. I don't know, don't care. It's been years. Whoever's been in charge has been dragging their heels, and so now we need to kick it down the road more months. How many big trees are going to fall between now and then? The developers, the industry, they know the deadline, so they're going to be cutting as fast as they can. So, you know, thanks for that. We need these exemptions for the industrial and commercial zones. A lot of them are located near or in low-income communities. I'm especially concerned with the outer southeast side of Portland, which is where my business is. This part of town has been getting the short end of all the sticks for ages. The city of Portland knows that the tree canopy on the east side of the river, especially in outer southeast, is seriously lacking. With the amount of development happening in East County, it is more important than ever to have strong tree preservation and planting policies and requirements, not just cut down big trees and plant a little stick or 10 sticks. It's not equivalent. Developers of any size must not be exempt for residential or commercial purposes. In light of the ever-increasing nightmare of climate change, we need more trees, not less. It is a criminal disservice to young people and all future generations to not act aggressively on climate now, and a strong tree policy is a relatively easy part of the solution, or at least it should be. The city does, in its infinite wisdom, exempt industry and large developers, but they do force tiny little businesses to cut down mature evergreen trees in order to widen roads that don't need to be widened in more or less residential areas. This makes no sense. It's just because of regulation that, with no flexibility and no vision for, oh, there are trees there, maybe that's a little bit more important. We must put more weight on the trees and less on widening roads all the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, City Council. I'm Albert Kaufman. It's good to be here. It's been a little while. I've been organizing a group of people who care about tree issues, and you've hopefully been hearing from a lot of them over the last period of time. Many of us are concerned with the decreasing canopy, and particularly old trees. I do want to urge the City Council to vote to renew the Big Tree Amendment. I think funding for urban forestry really needs to be brought forward. I mean, but I think I heard what you said, Commissioner Fritz, and that you'd like to leave early, so I'm going to really shorten my testimony. I basically am in line with what Greg was saying earlier. But personally, I think I'd really be for something that's like a moratorium on cutting trees in Portland. I think moratorium on cutting trees in Oregon actually is something that I'm shooting for. So that's where I stand, and thanks for having us today.
Thank you for being here. Thanks, all three of you.
The last person is Bob Solinger.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for staying so late. I got to testify last time, so I'll keep it very short. You know, first I just want to send...
Who are you?
I'm sorry, Bob Solinger, Conservation Director for Portland Audubon Society. First, I just want to send our best wishes out to Commissioner Fish. Our thoughts are with him and his family as they work through this, and we truly appreciate everything he has contributed to this city. And I know he would want to be here tonight for this hearing because he cares deeply about trees. We are here to support extending the sunset clause for 5 years. We appreciate all the work that has gone into that. But we also want to acknowledge how much effort it took to do this very simple thing, how many meetings we had to have, how many hearings we had to have, how many groups had to lobby and come in over and over and over and over again to simply lift a sunset clause to preserve the status quo. We're not getting better. We're staying even. And only for 5 years. And I agree with Commissioner Udaly's logic on that, too. So thank you for that. But that's all we're doing here. After all this work is preserving the status quo. And I really appreciate your comments earlier, Mayor, about how it's time to move from talk to action, how we have to move aggressively, and how the time is now. And I truly hope that we come back after New Year, we can live up to that on trees and all the other environmental issues that are facing us, because we have got to move a heck of a lot faster than we are, and we've got to do better, and we've got to be more aggressive. And what we've gone through over the last year to simply preserve the status quo is simply insufficient. That's what we need to look at and move beyond. So thank you for your work tonight, and I hope we can do better in the new year.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah. Could we just quickly have staff come back up and just quickly, like in five sentences, tell us about how the different bureaus interact? Because I think there, Greg raised a couple of good questions there. So could you just give us sort of the elevator pitch on that?
I'm Emily Sandy with the Bureau of Development Services. The tree code is divided into a few different sections. One has to do with development situations, which we are talking about today. The other big part of it is non-development situations, so not associated with any construction. And then it's also divided into private trees, which are on private property, and then trees that are on public property or the right-of-way. BDS, Development Services, is in charge of enforcing private trees in development situations only. Urban Forestry is responsible for enforcing everything else. Title 11, as far as amending Title 11, that gives responsibility to any bureau, but it must be coordinated with the bureau that's in charge of enforcing it. So that's, I wanted to clarify that it is BDS that's proposing this code amendment, and we would be leading future code amendments. Title 11, however, also prescribes that we coordinate heavily with all the other affected bureaus, which of course includes Parks, Urban Forestry. So that will be included in any future work that happens. One other clarification, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staffs the Planning and Sustainability Commission.
Oh, that's a good
point.
Thank
you very much.
But BDS is requesting the extension of the sunset, to
correct.
Be clear. But BDS doesn't create the policy within Title 11.
Yes, we do.
But Bureau of Planning has to do the analysis.
So,
in order for us to change,
in this particular case with the commercial and industrial zones,
okay.
Yes, we would be relying heavily and coordinating with BPS to do that analysis.
Right.
Yeah.
It is confusing.
Yep.
Okay. Great. So we will unconfuse the confusing, because it is confusing.
Maybe.
Good. Thank you. That was actually helpful, Emily. Emily, thank you. All right. So we have two votes. We have the amendment. The five-year amendment is still on the table. We'll vote on the amendment. Then we'll vote on the main motion, unless there's any further discussion.
It is the main motion.
It's the ordinance to change the code.
Okay.
Great. All right. So we'll vote on the amendment. Call the roll, please, on the five-year extension.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is now adopted to the main motion as amended. Please call the roll.
Udaly.
I'll just briefly say that I agree with a lot of what we heard here tonight. I've been waiting 3 years to get a crack at Title 11, and this is our chance. I love the sound of a moratorium on cutting down trees. I don't know that that is possible. But we could certainly more aggressively protect them, and we could certainly require developers to pay the real cost of taking down a tree, which is much higher than what we're charging them now. And finally, I'll just mention that my office is exploring ways that the city could take over responsibility for planting and maintaining our street trees. It seems like a good time to mention that. This is a terrible way to manage such a valuable public asset, and it's led to gross inequities across the city because low-income property owners, it's more of a burden for them to both maintain, as well as repair their sidewalks once the tree grows too large. I vote aye, and I look forward to coming back next month on the
Fritz.
Rest.
Right, Fritz.
So we first started discussing the TRECO back in 2009, my first year, Commissioner Fisher's first year, Mayor Adams's first year as mayor, and it was the three of us who worked with the community at your insistence to get the TRECO passed in 2011. We delayed implementation for a couple of years to make sure that we were ready to do so, and then ever since then, we've been realizing, oh, what we thought in 2009 to 11 either wasn't enough, was too much, was not right. There are multiple things that need to be changed, and we have a list that's extremely long in Portland Parks and Recreation, which I worked on some when I was in charge of parks my second term. I know Commissioner Fish has been working on it as well. And Commissioner Udaly, I know that Commissioner Fish is planning to bring back, there's a street tree task force that was required to look at how could we fund, what would the costs of funding city maintenance of trees be, and how might we pay for that. And I know that we had that conversation when we were looking at how do we fund parks, to make sure that we make that policy decision as we're looking at how do we fund parks altogether. So I joined Bob Salinger in really honoring Commissioner Fish in all the work that he's done on this over his entire time in council. It was never our intent to stop when we first passed the tree code in 2011, and that we recognized we would need to evaluate the impacts and propose reforms as needed. That takes resources. The recession hit. I know everybody believes that the most crucial issue, there is a perception that the most crucial issue facing us is homelessness and housing affordability. Actually, I believe it's the climate crisis and the fact that our planet is on fire. Yeah. And the one thing that we, just hold it because I'm trying to get out to my directors, sir. Thank you, though. The one thing that we know that actually takes carbon and puts it back into the ground are trees. And so we need to be acting as if our planet depends on it, because it does. Thank you to the Planning and Sustainability Commission and the Urban Forestry Commission for providing recommendations on the big tree amendments as well as on the commercial industrial. Thank you to the youth who advocated at the Planning and Sustainability and the fact that they then listened. I know we're all very committed to getting that done sooner rather than later, and frankly, it's really exciting to finally be part of a council where there is a majority that recognizes the urgency of this. We know that the tree canopy is lowest in industrial areas. Highest temperatures are recorded there. On a summer day in Portland, when neighborhoods near Forest Park have temperatures around 78 degrees, neighborhoods near industrial areas have a temperature above 90 degrees. It's that stark just within our city. People of color and low-income people should not have to wait any longer for us to provide safeguards against the health risks associated not only with the warming planet, but also immediate air pollution. Homeless people will need a planet to live on as well. And I look forward to having the discussion next time. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for your willingness to be flexible on this, and also to make sure that when we do adopt changes to the code, that they will not be challenged in court or in the land use system. Aye.
Hardesty?
I'm sorry, I missed that conversation. It sounds like it was a doozy. I am happy to know that people spoke from their heart and the city council heard loud and clear. We will be ready to do the work starting in January, and I thank all of you because you even sat through city audit. You sat through
two audits
today, right? You sat through a presentation on this book, right? And yet you still were fired up for the things that you came to talk about. So thank each and every one of you for being here. I'm feeling lots of love. This is the first time since I've been here that people thanked us for staying late. I like that. I vote aye.
That was what Mr. Walsh said earlier.
That's exactly what he was saying as he was leaving. Thank you so much for being here.
Wheeler.
All right, well, I'm going to keep it short. Thank you to the Bureau of Development Services staff. I especially want to thank Emily Sandy and Kimberly Talent. Thank you for your hard work on this. Of course, our city forester, Jen Cairo, has also worked very, very hard on this. I share my colleagues and Bob Salinger's well wishes for Commissioner Fish. I'm confident that we all can work together and develop a resolution that is worthy of this discussion. So thank you all for staying late. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. We are adjourned.